Christmas and other things you'll find won't fit your old ideas. There are line and shifting sands. You walk across a ghostly bridge to a crumbling promised land. If Jesus came from Mississippi, if tears began to rise,
Roseanne Cash's latest CD from Blue Note Records, The River and the Thread, is the first original work from the singer-songwriter in 8 years and marks something of a turning point in her career. After 11 number one hits on the country charts, Ms. Cash has moved to the Mississippi Delta to mine its rich cultural history and make sense of her heritage and ours. The album, which she wrote with her husband, the musician producer John Leventhal, also features an all-star array of guests, including Kris Kristofferson, Alison Moore, Derek Trucks, John Prine, and Tony Joe White. It's a rich, textured collection of songs, and it's already being called the first great album of 2014. I'm very pleased that it brings Roseanne Cash back to our show.
Hi, Leonard.
And we just heard the opening to World of Strange Design, which conjures up certain aspects of the South, starting with, well, you're not from around here. You're probably not our kind.
Yeah, there's sometimes an insular kind of feeling in the South, you know, us and them. But I didn't want to draw attention to that so much as the strange beauty of the South, you know. It's very peculiar, the South.
Well, although you don't yet have the luxury of distance, what do you think it is about this particular group of songs that's been resonating with listeners and the critics?
That I would probably be the last person who would know the answer to that question. And I actually do have the perspective of distance, you know, as a New Yorker for 23 years with deep connections still to the South. I think part of what resonates is that it's an old-fashioned album. It's, you know, almost a it is a concept record. I hate to say that. It's an old-fashioned term, but I like to say that, actually.
The songs connect to each other.
They connect. There's a narrative that goes through the whole album. They're of a piece. It's one landscape. And it all draws, as you say, from the Delta and a little from Appalachia.
And it was, is that something you wanted to do from the start, or is it John's idea?
It happened naturally. We didn't start searching around for a theme and go, let's write a record about the South. It so happened that there was a perfect storm of events simultaneously that led us to the South several times over a period of 2 years.
But these songs are different from the more personal or confessional songs you've been writing.
Thank God, right?
Did you get tired of doing that?
Well, some of it's a little ungracious at my age. You know, navel gazing, you can only take so far. It's interesting you bring that up, though. There are a lot of third-person narratives and songs about real characters, real places outside of myself. And John encouraged that a lot. He said, don't just write about your feelings.
This is your first collection of original material in 8 years. Had you been consciously taking a break from songwriting, or was it a matter of life taking on its course? I'm thinking about a conversation we had about your memoir.
Yeah, composed.
4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot happened. I was very sick from 2007, you know, and it took a couple years to get better. 2010, my memoir came out. 2010, my last record, which is a covers record, The Liz, came out. And then I was working with that record and a lot going on. I wanted very much to get back to songwriting. It just took a while.
Well, you have said more recently that truthfully, you said, I soft-pedaled how difficult the surgery was.
Mm-hmm.
So how difficult was that surgery, and how long did it take you to recover?
Really, a couple years before I got back, really feeling a bit like myself again. And, you know, my neurosurgeon said it, of all the surgeries he does, it was the most difficult recovery. I said, he didn't tell me that until after. I said, thanks.
Well, you look okay, so I guess everything's all right now.
I feel great. I'm very lucky.
as you kind of suggested earlier, you're not so much from the South as of the South.
Interesting that you put it that way.
And so you started thinking about the history and myth of the South as themes for an album?
You know, I was born in Memphis, but I didn't grow up there. And then I, as an adult, I lived 9 years in Nashville, maybe a total of 10 years. So, and I have extended family through the South. My parents are Southern. So there are these deep connections that, in some way, I thought I had put behind me. And going back...
You took road trips, didn't you?
Road trips, and I have a dear friend in Florence, Alabama, Natalie Channon, and she taught me to... Actually, Natalie's been on your show, I think. She taught me to sew. So I was going to Florence, Alabama to learn to sew. I was going to Arkansas because I was involved with Arkansas State University in restoring my dad's boyhood home. And going to Memphis a lot, reconnecting with my family. So a lot happened to spark this record.
But do you think of these songs as country songs? The songs were country and blues and some just general Southern feeling all meet.
I would say that's correct, Southern music rather than just country, because there are references to the Delta, to Appalachia, to country pop like Bobby Gentry or Tony Joe White.
And you've performed Ode to Billy Joe, Bobby Gentry's song,
yeah,
in concert. There's a photo of you on the Tallahatchie Bridge on the CD cover. And one of the songs here, Money Road, refers to the place in Mississippi where the bridge crosses the Tallahatchie River.
Yeah. I mean, that the Tallahatchie Bridge, for a songwriter, for anyone who loved that song, is mythic. You know, what did they throw off the bridge?
That's the only song that has the same melody repeated again and again and again, and somehow you don't get tired.
No, it's hypnotic. But, you know, on one trip, we went to the Tallahatchie Bridge this bleak December day. We were the only people there. We went to Robert Johnson's grave.
He's nearby?
Nearby, practically within walking distance. And we went to Money, Mississippi, where Emmett Till was murdered and the civil rights movement was sparked.
So the Tallahatchie Bridge has a lot of significance,
yeah,
in another way. It's where important things happened.
Yeah, it's at the center of a vortex of music and revolution.
And Robert Johnson, is he one of your influences? Or is there a hellhound on your trail?
Well, I haven't sold my soul to the devil yet.
You still have time.
Indirectly, of course, I think any roots musician has to trace it back to, you know, Robert Johnson and the Carter family, basically.
My guest is Roseanne Cash, who has real connections to the Carter family. Her latest CD is The River and the Thread, and the reviews have been fabulous. The opening track, A Feather's Not a Bird, kind of sets the tone for the entire album and acknowledges the thread and the connections in your life.
It does.
So is this a kind of a musical memoir?
Kind of, except, like I said, there are third-person narratives that are completely out of what happened to me, like Etta's Tune.
But Etta's Tune involves things.
Marshall, and Etta Grant, right, who I knew very well.
Etta Grant, Marshall Grant, was your father's bass player in the Tennessee Two.
He was, and the third person to hold me after I was born, after my parents. And I was close to him my whole life. And he and Etta were married for 65 years, which is a record for a touring musician, I think. And she said, you know, every morning we woke up and we said, what's the temperature, darling? And John said, well, that's the first line of a song. So we wrote Etta's Tune. That was the first song we wrote for the record.
You've collaborated with John Leventhal on past records. Has the process been the same, or has it changed over the years?
Well, we've been working together for 20 years, and in the beginning, we took everything personally. You know, what do you mean I'm singing flat? You don't love me. but we've worked
you
that out.
You sing flat sometimes?
Not anymore. No. What, you don't love me? We've worked it out. We've learned how to work together. We play to each other's strengths now and appreciate each other. And great, you know, hopefully look for a sum that's greater than the parts.
Well, you do have you do need for somebody to tell you you're singing flat or
sure.
something else is going wrong.
Sure.
You can't always take it personally.
No, and challenging each other ended up being better for the record. You know, we would complain about guitar parts or lines, lyric lines, and it forced us to go further.
On the other hand, when you have somebody like Derek Trucks of the yeah. Allman Brothers playing slide guitar, you can pretty much trust him to do a good job.
Right. It's so funny. John, who is one of the greatest guitar players I know, didn't want to play any guitar solos on this record. So he asked Derek to take that solo on World of Strange Design. And John closed the record with an electric sitar solo. Hmm. And people said, well, that's so out of what you were doing. But no, because Reggie Young from the Muscle Shoals era and group played it quite often.
And, of course, Duane Allman was on Aretha Franklin's record.
Yes.
So there's a lot of cross-cultural stuff going on.
That's right. On this record, we reference everything from those country pop cascading strings to real rustic Appalachia.
Now, you mentioned that you were approached by the Arkansas State University to work on the restoration of your father's boyhood home in Dyess, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Had you lived there?
No. He grew up there, and he left when he went to the Air Force, you know, at the age of 18. And the house was just about falling to the ground. It was a New Deal-era colony, Dyess, Arkansas, and it was actually one of Eleanor Roosevelt's pet projects. My father said he remembered seeing her as a boy. And out of the 500 original cottages, only 40 were left. And one of them was my dad's boy at home. So Arkansas State University said, well, this is an important heritage site for music in the Delta. They wanted to restore it.
But you must receive countless requests for
oh, yeah.
things based on your father's life.
Yeah.
So how do you pick and choose?
This was the only one, Leonard. This one really resonated with me, not just because it would have been important to my dad, but for my children's sake.
Are they going to make it into a museum?
Yeah, but I hesitate to even say that word because it gives an idea of kind of some kitschy place, but it's a serious music heritage site. And, you know, incidentally, the New Deal is important to American history.
But it's also my sense that the place holds some sad memories.
It does. Even my father took us there when I was a teenager, and I remember feeling the weight of what it was for him, that hardship. I mean, you know, I think about my grandmother who raised seven children and picked cotton with no electricity. That's a hard life. And my father lost his brother there. You know, there was some grief he carried.
We just lost Pete Seeger.
Yeah.
Did you know him?
I can't say I knew him. I did a couple of things with him. I gave him an award, actually, a few months ago from the New Press.
Mm.
And I did a tribute concert to him, too. What a lovely... We won't see his like again, I don't think.
Well, some people are saying that he was just as important as an activist for civil rights, for the environment and other things,
yeah.
as he was as a singer, although he was a pretty good five-string banjo player.
He was. So few people do what he did well, you know, to... use his music without beating people up with his beliefs or activism, but to do it in a way that was full of compassion and love.
Will you be touring with this album?
I am. In fact, I'm going to Ontario tomorrow. And, you know, I keep it to manageable because I have a teenager at home.
But you also will be performing at Town Hall March 18th?
Yes.
These songs?
Yes.
Or are you going to be doing Me and Bobby McGee?
You mean Ode to Billy Joe?
Yeah.
How about all of the above?
So you'll be performing with John Leventhal.
Yeah.
Also February 6th, that's more sooner, at the Bergen Performing Arts Center at 8 o'clock, and February 22nd at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Yes, I'm so excited. They asked me to put together a show based on their American guitar exhibit. So we're having Wayne Henderson, who's an amazing bluegrass flat picker, come up to be in that show.
Well, it's got to be weird performing this kind of music in a museum that has Caravaggios and Vermeers.
Well, it feels very like an honor.
And that'll be at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And for more details, you go to our show page at WNYC.org. You've also been a fill-in host on this show. And as I mentioned earlier, you've written a memoir. Are you going to concentrate on the music for a while, or are you going to continue trying to see how many different things you can do?
Yes, I may take up ballet dancing next. I continue to write prose. In fact, I just wrote a piece for the New York Times songwriting blog. But music, you know, that's the center of my life.
And we're going to go out with the opening song from this new CD. The CD is called The River and the Thread. It's from Blue Note Records, just released. The song is A Feather's Not a Bird. Roseanne Cash, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you, Leonard.